Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 31, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 14th, 2018, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm Jack O'Brien. I opened up my eyes, I'm Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Sean Constantine from Ace of Base, who secretly a Nazi band.
Wait, what?
By the way, they're...
Are you just saying that because they're blonde?
No, their name is... So, first of all, one of their three members is used to be in, like, a Nazi metal band.
Oh, shit.
And
the dude?
Their name... Yeah, the dude. Name is probably a reference to a submarine base from World War II called the Base of Aces. That was a Nazi submarine band. When you, like, look at translations of some of their lyrics, it's just... A happy nation living in a happy nation where people understand and dream of the perfect man. Yeah. And then there's just all sorts of weird shit. They have that one song that was actually popular that was like All That She Wants Is Another Baby, that was basically about a welfare queen.
Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah.
She leads a lonely life.
Anyways.
I remember that.
Which welfare queens, in case people don't realize, are just a conservative, like, right-wing lunatic myth for the most part. And they wrote a pop song about it.
Tight.
Well, hey, I'm thrilled
to have all this
to
merch
be
on.
Joined as a, yeah, all your Ace of Base gear. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Mozzie gotta go and make things so complicated.
Wow. Oh shit, Avril Lavigne reference?
Wow.
Maybe equally problematic, I don't know. But yes, that was from AKA Goddess, Chapman Rice, just kicking it off right this week. Because it's been a very stressful week. I'm just gonna have to let this out on the podcast. Moving in, or not moving in, my girlfriend and I, Her Majesty, we're moving. It's a very stressful process. I am literally physically and emotionally exhausted. I mean, you have not lived till you've almost broken up six times at an IKEA in 1 week. And you know what? I'm on the other side and I'm alive. But bear with me, Zeit Gang, if I seem low energy today.
A little distracted.
Yeah.
Shit
is fucking stressful.
Getting calls in the middle of the recording.
Yeah.
Furniture delivery people. It's all good. We are thrilled to be joined by the hilarious stand-up comedian Kasim Bentley.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming back.
No, thank you to Anna for answering my email. You know what I mean? I'm happy to be back here. Because the first time, it's a little bit of pressure.
No,
because this is a real podcast.
As opposed to the times you're just speaking into a broomstick in a closet.
If you want to talk about when comedians make their own makeshift network, it's like, yeah, we're just going to go into the kitchen studio and just don't mind my roommate because I walks by scratching, you know what I mean? It's on the, we're coming up right now, you know what I mean? Like egg crates on the wall. I thought, this is amazing, bro. And then you read the packet and you test your knowledge and, It's great. You know, I love all three of y'all.
We're thrilled to have you here, man.
Thank you.
And your first episode, by the way, was a fan favorite, so no pressure.
Whoa. I knew it was good because my mom listened to it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, my mom was like...
Deep discussion about Boston Market, too. I feel like we were talking about some Boston Market shit on that episode.
Kasim, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
My search history?
Yes.
Pretty much that I wore braces... like a year too long. That's why my teeth are breaking out, because I wore them too long. I just didn't have the money, and I was so dumb. I was walking around just with this, like, the wire on the top was damn near gone, and then the bottom ones were there. So I looked like, and I was just holding on to them, because in the hood, when you get braces, like, that's better than a grill. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's like
that's a different kind of flex.
It's a reverse, double reverse, forward flex. You know what I mean? Like, it's metal. But you're getting your shit in order.
Right.
It's like rims for your mouth. You know what I mean? Mine were breaking up, so they were spinning. You know what I mean? It's there.
Spree wells.
But here's another thing people don't really know about me. Because some people, I saw somebody get murdered.
What?
I worked in social services.
Go on.
I worked in social services a long time, right? And I was working this one gig not too long ago. I just did this temp gig, right? And I was down there in Skid Row, right? I never, before that, I'm from San Francisco, where the equivalent of Skid Row is the Tenderloin,
right?
And then people talk about it. Everyone knows that Dave Chappelle made a bit about it. And everyone thinks it's, like, crazy, right? And it's on, but San Francisco is 7x7, so it's only like four blocks of some madness, right? But if you're from West Bumblefuck or like Wyoming or whatever, or the Valley, right?
You just sit there like, fuck, y'all from the Valley, man.
Wait, are you?
Yes!
I thought you were from like Osaka or something like that.
Well, no, my family's from Niigata in Japan, but I'm of the Valley, the 818, the San Fernando.
Miles does seem too cool to be from the Valley, but yeah.
You do seem very...
That's why I'm cool, you know what I mean?
Right.
The LA shit didn't get to me in the Valley, so I grew up somewhat normal, adjacent to the bullshit, and I chose the parts that I like.
I really like him. I like you too, man.
Thanks, man, but I understand. Miles is the best.
It's like, it's just, he could have went a whole other direction.
Yeah.
he could have been the podcast Jesse Williams, you know what I mean?
No,
and gets
no,
been not, no information, gets thirst trapping, you know what I mean? But then Hazel Eyes out, but he's just a smart dude. You got to run for some kind of public office.
I will eventually,
like,
you know.
Or open a community
we'll
center.
We'll turn this into something. You know what I mean? So anyway, back to the story.
Back to the murder, right? So, right. All right. I'm back out here in the streets. I'm turning this into some real.
Yeah, so like, back to this murder.
So, okay. Everyone that knows me knows I've worked in social services most of my life, right? Mm. Usually with youth, and I transitioned to adults, and I was working. I transitioned to adults probably about six years ago, maybe. And each job has gotten progressively worse, right? So I've seen someone die every year.
Wow.
A client, you walk in dead on the ground, or you can see somebody like da da da. But I know it's you know what, when you, but then I grew up around violence, so like I'm not used. I'm just like, oh, it's a Thursday, there's a dance, you know what I mean?
Right.
And yo, but this one was a trip because I'm going to work. I'm walking through downtown. You know, I'm losing weight, so I got to do the walking, right? Mm-hmm, so I get off a half hour early, and I got my little bag. I guess like that active social worker, you know what I mean? Riding around, just like with my loose khakis. Like everyone gets to say, like, hey, but that brother really doing it, right? So, and then I'm going downtown, and when I'm downtown, I see celebs, but weird celebs. Like four times since I've been here since last January, I've seen Brian Pumper. Four times.
The porn star. And looks like Lloyd Banks?
Ooh! Oh, man!
Don't worry.
This is why I rock with you,
Everybody know Brian Pumper looked like Lloyd Banks.
Oh,
I mean, come on
now. I said it on stage, and they looked at me like I said, like, I started talking German, and
what?
I was like, this is half black people. I was just like, how do you guys know who Brian Pumper is? Brian Pumper, every time I've seen him, he's either going in the wrong direction, and he finds his way back, or he looks confused, or he looks like he's on set. You know what I mean? And he's just like, every time I see him, he dresses. You know, like black guys, they get to a certain point, it'll be like late 30s, early 40s. They get trapped in their age or their generation, or they try to make what's cool not cool. Like black guys.
He's still dressing like it's 2003.
Yeah, but he's wearing like weird shoes you get from like athletic shoes you get from Ross. Like he's like, he's trying to make it, man, these Under Armours are lit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man, you got, or these
the
weird,
Starburst.
Like nameless Adidas that just look like socks and everything. It's like a downgraded Kanye like eight times. Like, man, look at these. Ain't got no laces. You know? Like,
brother, that's because you're wearing just socks. Shits are
just
not even shoes.
Socks,
don't,
basically like compression socks with Kanye soles.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? And cause, so he was there, and he's wearing like the Big Brother watch. My brothers get a watch, and it's like got too many links, and he's just dangling. He's wearing an aqua polo, but it was USA. It was US polo.
All Polo Association. Uh-oh.
And he was just looking in the sky, like he was looking to the porno guys, like somebody help me. You know what I mean? This digital porn is ruining my career. Right? So I see him, and then I was walking down the street, and in Skid Row, you get to see first of all, the rats in Skid Row, too much for me. They've got sneakers on, you know what I mean? They're coming out of an Uber pool, you know what I mean? Kind of stuff. One's trying to sell me dope. It's like really weird stuff. And like the Chinese people, I love them to death because they give no fucks about you. They're just boxing you out like Rodman, you know what I mean? Catching, you know, roars. But down there, I was down there walking through, and I just seen a dude whacking off on a couch with three fingers, you know, just casually,
wow,
like with
right.
his pinky out, just like
yeah,
a fancy,
classy.
You know, like,
fancy
hello,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And so I'm walking and I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm trying to get this writing job, I'm trying to do this, I got a new show, I'm trying to do this pilot, figuring out my whole shit. So there's this park near my job. Go to this park. Now, this is where all the drama happens. You know, we've all been to these homeless parks where it's like everyone's kind of like happy and homeless. It's like a musical. You know, it's like Skid Row, the musical.
Right.
You know, I've got dirt on my face. You know, what I mean? So, right. And so like I'm there, and I guess I'm like this festival the day before. But today there was like really there was nobody around. But there was like this dude, you know, like this little D boy talking to just like this dofing, right? But it was kind of like it was a dofing was just like trying to make a deal, he owed money and all that stuff. So I'm sitting there, and I don't know what it was. I just stood there at the light. I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And then the dude, he made this little motion with his arm. This dude walks past me. And then usually D-Boy's got these little ashy black hoodies on. So this dude had this fresh hoodie. He didn't look like anybody. He had a sharpened, melted pen. Like penny. See, you ever watch those prison documentaries?
Yeah,
you
like prison documents.
Yeah, you could make something out of this Tide Pod, you know what I mean? Just like, yo, gets melted, you know what I mean? Or something. And he gets stabbed like 16 times. And I'm like, and I have a really high voice, so I have to watch out when I scream. Because it's going to be somebody, what woman screaming around here? You know what I mean? So I, like, so I did this. I went, I guess look like a large gay black man. Because
right.
And I was like, and then I was like, but I'd seen all this shit before. But the dude had, it was leaking, right? And then, and here's the cool part. He gets stabbed up. And I'm like, damn, what the fuck? And I just keep it inside. But then the whole shit happens where, like, as soon as he hit the ground, they just took all his shit. Like, he had some old Jordans on, right? It's still pretty clean, so it was just like, all right, you know, whatever. They could go to Buffalo, right? And I sit there. I'm like, God rest the dead, right? So I sit there, and he went into his pocket. But I was just like, I guess it was like really, because I get to work, and I tell my staff, and I'm working a temp job, so they treated me like a temp. I don't know if you guys ever worked temp. Mm. Like, but when you're really a temp, they could give a fuck what you do. It's right. Like, who stole the bread? The temp. Well, whatever. Right. You know what I mean? He's a temp, right? Right? And I just sat there, and like, they just did not give a fuck about me. I was like, yeah, I saw someone get murdered just like a few minutes ago. I was like,
wow.
For real.
Yeah. Like, I guess sorry, sat temp. There. Yeah, sorry, temp life. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's tweeting, like, somebody temp, somebody get murdered. Why do I care? You know what I mean? It's like, someone's in line, man. Come on.
Kasim, what's something that's overrated?
Goddamn halal guys.
Oh, okay. the brick and mortar store now?
That is
just carts in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about the halal guys brand that they
brand.
Brought out. Yeah.
It's. I finally got it. I listened to this Doughboys podcast, and I've seen it, and I finally got it. I went on, I got my Postmates, and I ordered that crap. I found $30 at a show, and I took it. I didn't give a fuck whose it was. You know what I mean?
Just sitting there.
Just there. Every once in a while, God will just let me. Like, one time at a party, I found like $500, and I didn't give a damn whose it was.
God's
I was
plan.
Like,
God's
and
plan.
Then I heard somebody tweet later, like, did somebody find $500 at a party? And I was like, dude, it's too bad.
Did somebody lose $500?
Yo, it was like, if somebody would have hugged me like Drake, I would have started crying. You know what I mean? So I do it. I go Postmates. I order it. I get it. And look, man. I don't know. This is the thing. It's like, I guess that and Zanku chicken are kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, Zanku is kind of in a different lane for me. I guess that's my Valley bias, my LA bias.
You think it's better? Is what
you're saying. Well, you know, Halal Guys was like, I think the only reason I was excited is because I had it in New York a handful of times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of New Yorkers are like, oh, right. We love Halal Guys or whatever. So when it came out, I got it a couple of times, but right. I'm like, I'm going to keep it rocking with Zanku.
I didn't know until the Doughboys that Halal Guys is a chain. It's a chain of halal restaurants.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that until Doughboys. Yeah. I might
just
go be
home,
very inattentive.
You just go home right after this podcast.
Exactly.
It's like your two kids, like, love me, Dad. You know what I mean? Are you teaching them Korean? Like, doesn't that right there?
They know more Korean than I do, I'll say that.
The thing what it was this white sauce. I thought I didn't.
Oh, right, that everyone goes nuts over.
It's packet. Ranch. The packet is pure fat.
Right.
It's like you sliced open a titty, you know what I mean? And just like all the fat. It's like you just cut open John Candy and this fat comes out into a vat. It's tasty, but the packet's like 40 grams of fat.
Yeah. A lot of people don't. Well, see, people don't look at it. It's funny. Most people have a blind spot when it comes to sauces. You're like, how could a sauce be terrible for me?
Sauces and cookies are way overrated. Yeah. Cookies you think are good, but the cookie, like, you ever look at a 7-Eleven cookie?
No.
And you ever look at the. It's basically, it says, you read the ingredients, it says, you really should not eat this.
Yeah, you turn it over and go,
look,
are
man,
you fucking
don't worry
kidding
about
me?
It, yes. Just...
But you're here already, so yeah. Your life
For
is
real,
pretty fucking, and it's 89 cents.
Yeah. The nutrition facts just say, fuck out of here. And you're like,
I also think there's something about rice that makes me, just like from my childhood, that makes me think it's healthy. And that rice, like if you squeeze it, just like pure fat will come out.
Yeah.
It's just like, it'll stick together like a snowball.
I was working with Godfrey. And he's a guy that's pretty much, he's like 50, and he's like in great shape.
He's 50? All right, we don't have to drag him out of the age closet right now.
Yo, he keeps it real. He's damn near 50.
Okay.
But he looks amazing. Hairline good. It's not all Jimmy Foxed out. You know what I mean? It's like.
Inconsistent, you mean?
It's like rock with him. That's a black fact. Jimmy's hairline looks like a Nintendo. You could put a Nintendo 64 or an old console.
NES controller. That hairline is a all right angles.
But it's correct now. It's like where LeBron should be going to get his hairline. Like, out the HGH of his body, put the new carpet fibers right there, boom, right? But like, oh, but back to the thing. Back to this, hello guys. It's okay.
It's okay, yeah. It's not, you don't have to, it's not a religious experience. It's just
but
like
people
a
who don't, you know how people find culture in food? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not racist. I did halal guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you have this white sauce, which is basically squeezing DJ Khaled on your food. You know what I mean? Like, yo, here's the thing about also overrated. We've all known this. DJ Khaled.
Right. Oh, we already knew that.
But people are starting to, after that whole wife thing.
Yeah, people like, are like, all right, fuck this guy.
I've been saying this since 2011. This guy is a creep. He's a dented white Lexus in Burbank. You know what I mean?
Dude.
He's just like the worst dude.
We got to move on to underrated.
Big old Tampico body with nipples. You know what I mean? Running around. And his wife is hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. No. I like a good regular smegula. You
so
know what I mean?
So you're saying she could do better?
She could have done better.
Right.
Yeah. At you're a shelter. You know right what here. I mean?
At a shelter. What is something that's underrated?
Oh, you know what's underrated? French tip nails.
French tip nails.
I used to think they were whore nails, right? And I don't. I didn't say it. I'm saying what other dudes say. I'm very woke, so I don't mean
I'll just say the problematic thing out loud.
They're problematic
to demonstrate that there are takes that are
what
problematic.
What it elicits is a horrible like response. Right? But I never liked those nails. They're just all white. It's not color. It says a certain type of woman. Before I really started looking at how much it takes to make these nails and the quality, the women that have these nails, when I meet them, they're hustling. Like women that have, I'm talking full, not the little strip, full French tip nails, French tip toenails are out there getting their money, right? And I'm not getting money. I cannot wait to do this invoice. You know what I mean? Right there. I should have walked in with an invoice right now. And I think that with guys, they always find these ways to downgrade women in the smallest thing. But there's something very beautiful about the French. When I see a woman with French tip nails now, I know she's getting up. Doing that Instagram, finding a way to brand herself, whatever.
And that's someone that might give you $5.
Yo, if any woman on here has French tip nails and you like these jokes, hit me on Venmo. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want some friends. I would love it. You know who I don't like? That's why I don't like women with clear nails. That's just lazy. You know what I mean?
So French tip are clear except for the tips, right?
The tip.
The stuff that's off the cuticle.
Yeah. Right. Like, you see those. Like, Anna, have you ever had them? Have you ever had those?
Tip nail. I had them like once or twice in high school, probably for like dances and stuff. Ooh. So like my parents were paying for me to like get them done. Ooh. But I rarely do it. It's just not my style. It's too fancy for me.
Do you get your nails done?
No, I mean rarely.
Like, I mean, look how healthy your nails are.
Once or twice.
Ooh. No, they are.
Yeah.
They're just full of biotin and this.
I don't really get my nails done. No.
Get a bone transplant with your nails.
They look bulletproof. They look like made of vibranium. You know what I mean? They're just like strong. You know what I mean? You have Persian girl nails.
Yeah. I don't like to paint my nails because I have finger tattoos and I think it's too much.
It's you overwhelming. Got like a lot going
if I have
on.
A, and I wear a ring, like it's
nah,
too much.
Nah. Do you?
Just
I am doing me.
The definition, which I botched, the classic French tip manicure is done on short to medium length nails. The nails are shaped either into a more rounded or squared shape. White polish is applied to the tips of each nail. Mm-hmm. Then a sheer pink, fresh, or beige tone is brushed over the nail bit.
Yes. Shout out to my high school girlfriend who had French tip nails.
I love that you just Googled French tip
because
I realized
when he said it, we exchanged a look when he was like, yeah, and it's just the white tip. And we looked at each other like, well, that's not exactly it. Right. And then he was like, well, hold on. Now,
when I hear Miles say, that's not a girl.
You know what? When you did it, there's always, I figured, I want to make a superhero, like a white guy superhero. This is called, actually. I think it flies in the air.
I'm allowed to correct myself. I'm allowed to myself,
yes.
All right. And then finally, what is a myth? Kasim, what's something people think is true you know to be false?
Here's a myth that I've really started thinking that there's this myth that white people can't dance. And I might be one of the few black people I'm really putting out here. I've been to enough white functions where I have been one of a few black people to just not ruin the vibe You know what I mean? And I think it's like white people are on beat, but it's the music that you love. You know what I'm saying?
So fucking true.
And what you come in with. If, like, I've watched those Motown reviews on KQED,
mm-hmm. right.
and white people, that was a time in music where there was no, the pressure was off of white people, you know, because it was jovial.
Right.
White people love going back to the 50s. Well, America was so great.
Right.
Not like now, everything is angry and everything's just, like, white people can dance. When you watch Footloose, yo, white people are out here living their best Caucasian lives.
That's
right?
What my upbringing was like, identical. To
Footloose?
That, to Footloose, yeah. I lived in a theocracy where dance was banned.
Oh, wait, for real?
No.
Oh, damn.
You know what's so funny? You could have just lied.
Right,
yeah.
I know.
I really would, because, yeah, I don't know. He's grown up all over the country, so right, I can right, never right. actually place where he was at a given time. Like,
I don't think
tight.
There are any theocracies where dance is banned in America, but I could be wrong. Somebody needs to do that work. Somebody needs to go out there and find. If there is a town, a Footloose town in America, somebody needs to do it.
I would love that, because there's certain things that we just think are really true. Like you said, a Footloose town. Like, yeah. Is that really a thing? You know what I mean?
Awesome.
But like, white people can dance.
Yeah. Right. Well, in Japan for a little bit, there was an anti-dancing law.
Oh, for
like
real?
In clubs, but no one enforced. It was a very weird thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's true. Like at weddings, there are like these standby songs that are not very danceable, except mm-hmm. like old people like to get yep. out there and think
start
they're dancing to it.
Or one
yeah,
stepping.
Yeah.
I don't even know
but
if it's such
like,
a dance.
Yeah.
It's one guy
that.
Just doing his leg.
Just
it's
tapping
like,
your
ah!
foot. Just get your foot going.
He's bouncing one leg yeah. down like he has a Charlie horse.
Yeah, or you're working at like a jug band. Like a...
All right. I love that myth. All right. We're trying to take a sample of the global share consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now. And we're going to get into the news stories after this break. And we're back, and we got a lot of stories to get through, so let's do it. We took one step closer to being the dystopian timeline from Back to the Future 2, where Biff is president this morning. You know, that's the timeline where they based Biff's, like, the future version of Biff off of Donald Trump, like, all the way back in the 80s. They were like, this is what it would look like if Donald Trump was president.
They actually said that? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah. People who worked on the movie said that was at least part of the inspiration for
cool.
the Biff character, because he built his empire by, you know, off of gambling. And Trump at that point was a casino owner. So some people have been pointing out, you know, similarities between that version of reality and ours now that they actually called it and that Biff is president. So in another thing come true from that world, the Supreme Court ruled today that states can determine if they want to allow gambling. So, you know.
We just got to make sure he doesn't find that almanac.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big win for New Jersey and most of my friends. But not, you know, bad day for Las Vegas, probably, presumably.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, supporters argue, this is just directly from the New York Times article on it, supporters argue that legalization will produce revenue for the states and critically weaken illegal sports betting operations, yeah. Which makes sense. It's like organized crime.
Yeah,
run.
Shout out to my bookie, Lenny.
Right.
Not paying you back now, motherfucker. What's good?
But people who are against it say that legalizing sports gambling will, you know, hook young people on gambling. Which,
man, young people are too broke to be fucking gay.
Thank you.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean,
and I feel like fantasy sports already kind of does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they monetize fantasy sports. And also they're worried that it'll encourage people of modest means to squander their savings and earnings and corrupt.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a worry, because I know some people who have had gambling problems, and that once gambler takes over your brain, like it did Marge Simpson, it's hard to come back. But when I look at this, though, too, is that a lot of people have been talking about how this is actually a good sign for the effort to have ICE, like, enforce their sort of deportation orders in sanctuary cities. Because it's sort of the same thing of, like, they're trying to conscript a lot of local police officers to actually enforce these immigration laws. And those are things that the states, they say, well, no, that's in our purview to actually determine whether or not we want to do this. So this ruling also would help, I guess, people who are worried about sort of like the invasion of ICE coming into cities to deport people. This is actually a pretty good signal that it'll be probably difficult to do that.
States' rights.
States' rights.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. They're also worried that it'll corrupt professional and college sports. But I mean.
Well, it's not like that's ever happened with soccer in Europe. You know. Wait. It has. So who knows?
Right.
But it's funny to think about, like, when it comes to, like, with this issue about what happens. Because I want to see this country burn down. You know what I mean? And I want to see it in weird, funny ways where it's just like online bet. Online bet. Do you gamble?
No, I don't.
Do you gamble?
No, it's against my religion. I worship the hawk. That's from Borat. No, I don't gamble.
Have you ever?
I mean, yeah. Oh, well, let's be real. I like to play dice here and there. I like to bet on sports occasionally.
Wait. Wait, let's. I know you want to keep time, but like, I find all of you very interesting. But he is sometimes he said these small things that, as a on the black part of me, is like, all right. You know what I mean? For the inquisitive side, the podcast, I'm like, what? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, play a little CeeLo. Why not?
Wait, you know what? You a Valley dude, but you got an Inglewood heart, man. You know what I mean?
Well, like, my family's all over the city.
Now, wait, have you shaken them up to the point where, like, someone tried to steal your money?
No. Because, like, everyone I played with never had that much money in it where, like, you know, it was
really
want to
hang out with you, bro. Your world is like BET and Vice comes together. You know what I'm saying? And it's like.
Yeah, last week I was talking about all the weird ecstasy hacks and shit I was doing. Yeah, yeah, who knows?
Have you played dice?
No, I haven't.
You got to shake them up sometime.
Yeah,
man.
We'll do a live CeeLo
You got a
game.
Good corner right here.
Yeah, right there.
You got a good, no, for real. Because you get to play dice, you know, you got to have a good, solid corner. And I mean,
pull the carpet back a little bit because you don't want the dice to hit it.
Yeah, you can't have anything bouncing off it. Because when they hit the floor, they got to do a good roll. So there's that one dude that plays dice like, whoa, don't touch it. Wait, how did it bounce though? You know what I mean? Are these loaded? It's like a dude a little older than you. He owes everyone money. You know what he's trying to do? But yeah, when it comes to, it'll be interesting to think about like what happens with this story. Do you guys follow stories like this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we follow every story. But I mean, this is, you know, like anything, right? This is just the first shot that says, okay, well, we've seen now that the floodgates can open now for this kind of gambling. I think in a few months from now, we'll see who the real kind of stakeholders are and who really
bounce to benefit. You know what's funny? Who benefits from all these things, like with these weird, interesting new addictions, is like I had my old therapist, he broke down to me about how much him his colleagues make about trying to find new ways to open up new groups and new focuses and whatnot. But even something like this, like he said, in a list, he's like, you know, what's funny is like what people, especially younger people, as people of a certain income, especially people who start making money but need to make more money, is that when it comes to stuff like the internet, finding ways, you know, people are internet addicted, so like more therapists. But he said gambling, but internet gambling. So I just kind of always wonder, it's not like they're the top of the people who find a profit from this, but I always wonder about like the one thing that we don't talk about is like trying to curb new addictions.
Right. Right. Right.
And this is so immediate, but it's hard.
That's why this could be interesting, because if you can just lose 10 grand on your phone from like placing bets, because you're like, you know what, I'm gonna put another
and
like,
who
1,000
wins from
on
it?
An Exacta or whatever.
Who wins from that? People who repair cell phone screens. You know what I mean? Get stuck and throwing them at the walls. It's like.
Yeah. All right, let's get into what's going on over in Jerusalem today.
What happened?
So the America, as we've talked about before, moved our embassy to Jerusalem officially. This is something that presidents in the past have said they were going to do, but then never went through with it because it is essentially like taking a side in the debate over whether you know, Israel or Palestine has the right to the city of Jerusalem. It's the sort of the holiest of the holy lands for three separate religions. There's been a lot of protests going on ever since this announcement, and Palestinian protesters are just getting murdered.
Yeah.
Straight up, like, shot by snipers through the eye.
Yeah.
And
shot a dude in a wheelchair.
Yeah, shot a dude in a wheelchair.
An amputee was using a fucking slingshot. Like, there was a photo of this guy in a wheelchair who's using a sling, like, literal David and Goliath type shit. This man is using a rock against people with guns. And then we found out that the man from that photo, he was killed earlier today.
Really?
That guy who was in that photo, like, I saw that photo because it was trending because they're like, this guy from an earlier protest was actually killed today.
The guy, the amputee?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. The way that it's being covered, the White House press briefing happened right before we came into the studio to record, and they threw out their second string dude who like goes out and says really problematic shit when
Sarah just reads from a paper.
When Sarah Sanders has to like take some time to just like build her will to live back up.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the official position of the White House is that this is Israel practicing their right to self-defense, and that this is all the Palestinian group Hamas. They're blaming it all on them, saying that they're behind all the protests, and that the Israeli snipers like murdering people is just Israel defending themselves because the people are throwing rocks and burning tires.
Yeah. I mean, all these decisions, like in the past week, they've just basically let Israel know, like, we're not really going to say anything. The problem, like, we as a country have enabled this, like, continuing dehumanization of, like, Palestinian people. Like, the people in Gaza, like, they can't even have, like, real commerce and trade because all of their movements are restricted. And that's led to really bad problems. Like, youth unemployment is really high for a lot of these Palestinian kids. So the only way to fucking feel alive or do something about it is to go and demonstrate. And then when you have troops basically gunning people down, I mean, the situation is really bad. And the U.S. only has itself to blame for even allowing this to happen. Because prior to this, acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel would have been used as a bargaining chip in peace talks.
Right.
But by doing this, I don't know how you bring everybody to the negotiating table and give something Israel wants, because part of their end game was basically legitimizing their claim to Jerusalem as their capital. So it's basically, I don't know, the situation is just getting worse and worse.
Right.
It's hard to know how this moves forward, especially when, you know, Jared Kushner and Donald Trump are like, well, you know, this is a step forwards towards peace. It's the complete opposite.
Israel itself and, you know, the people of Israel are not inherently wrong, but is Israel, in this case, the regime in power is far right wing, and this is what it looks like when, you know, the Israeli right wing is sort of allowed to go unchecked. But I wanted to play a clip from this morning's NPR Up First podcast because I think it's a good example of how the mainstream media is covering this as almost like these are the two equally valid sides of this debate. And I don't know. It seems crazy that they're being treated that way. I think we have a clip.
It's called into question the tactics on both sides of this, right? So what do the two sides actually say about what they have been doing here?
Well, Israel says tens of thousands of Palestinians are gathering, many throwing rocks and firebombs and burning tires to obscure the soldiers' view. And Israel says it's using live fire to keep people from damaging or crossing the border fence.
So live fire, meaning they're shooting people.
Real
who
bullets.
Because they're worried that they're going to damage the border fence. So up to today, it was 41 people had been murdered by Israeli snipers. And then today, I think 50-something protesters and demonstrators were murdered.
It's crazy, too.
At the border.
Like, when you look at, like, Amnesty International, other human rights groups, they're all being like, this is really a trip that it's going down like this. Like, they're like, even observers can't believe the like sheer volume of like wounded people there are, because there's something like over 1,000 people that are wounded too.
Yeah.
And it's just really tough because I don't even think when it comes to this whole conflict, like, you know, the U.S. was sort of looked as, oh, there used to be viewed as an unbiased sort of mediator. Now we've completely blown that up and we have no moral high ground in any way. And it's tough to think that, you know, when the Israeli soldiers and stuff are shooting these demonstrators just so easily, like, are they really looking at this group of people as equal, that they also have dignity as human beings?
No.
That when you come to the negotiating table, you can acknowledge that humanity to come to some kind of conclusion that, like, actually will heal, create peace. It's very tough, man. It's tough to watch, man, especially when you look at the juxtaposition of, like, the images today. Like, on one hand, you have everybody at the embassy smiling and celebrating, and then, like, just 40 miles away or some however far away, there are people losing their lives and getting killed. And a lot of the headlines were, like, obscuring the fact that these people were getting killed. They were saying, oh, Palestinian protesters die in clashes
right.
or whatever.
Clash.
Not Israelis, or they were shooting these people and killing them dead.
Right.
And so, but again, that's how this media apparatus works at times. It's tough to report clearly because they don't want people to criticize them for saying, like, you know, somehow you're being anti-Semitic by saying something like this or whatever. Look, the facts are that these people with rocks were getting shot because they were afraid that they were going to damage a fence.
Right.
It doesn't seem, I don't see how that is an equal combatant or like how they're seen as equal.
The New York Times headline says Israel kills dozens and injures 2,400 at Gaza border. Meanwhile, there are pictures of Ivanka Trump and her husband at like the ceremony clapping politely as people, you know, dedicate the American embassy. But I think that that is probably viewed as a controversial way to present this, that Israel is killing these people. And I'm sure they will be called out by various
groups. But who knows? But how else could you describe it objective? Like, Israel shoots guns with that and the bullets hit these people right. And then they died?
People are shot by? Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's No, it's insane. I mean, that NPR clip was presenting it as, you know, in this equally valid point, Israel is saying that they're burning tires and throwing rocks. So that's why they're allowed to shoot children through the eye. One of the people they shot in the head was a 14-year-old. It's just fucking awful. And I mean, yeah, you can't. I feel like our media is so obsessed with even-handedness and also afraid of, you know, being called out for being anti-Israel that they kind of go too far in that direction of being just like too journalism-y. Like, well, here are the two sides in this clash.
Yeah,
and it's like one side is fucking murdering people.
Right. Well, and some of those other headlines, like I guess the New York Times, they used Israel killed or whatever. But when they try and be like violent protests erupt and people lose their lives, they're acting like the protests were so lit that people were just killing each other.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, so the protests caused
the headline
violence.
Betrays like the reality of it, and it doesn't acknowledge the loss of human life.
Right. All right, let's get into a very strange story.
Yeah, my heart is breaking over here.
So, Qatar, Steve Bannon, Ice Cube.
This is a real story.
These are the main players in this story. Miles,
that you wouldn't
take
believe.
It away.
Is this Three, okay. Is this Three Kings Part 2?
Right.
What's going on here?
Spike Jones. Yes, the Daily Mail published a story that talks about this lawsuit that was being brought from Ice Cube and Jeff Quadanets, who they're like, that's his co-CEO of, remember, the Big Three basketball league that came out where it's NBA players are able to come back and
this is where you could go see a basketball game with your favorite old players from the past, and then after the game, they could be your Lyft driver.
Exactly. You're like, damn, Mateen Cleaves? I just saw you dunking on somebody. They're like, damn, your Honda is dirty as shit, though, my guy. So this involves this Big Three basketball league where essentially Ice Cube and his co-CEO, Jeff Quadanets, they're suing this Qatari man named Ahmed Al-Rumahi, who is part of, I believe, the Qatari royal family as well, because he said, I'm going to drop $20.5 million on the league. And they're like, oh, shit. Okay, great.
Thank you. This is
perfect because we're trying to do a 3-on-3 basketball tournament with players past their prime. We can use all the help we can get.
Using old residuals from Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's in there like, yo.
Shout out to Pat Charbonnet. So what happened was, they're suing them because they said they only paid them $7.5 million. But what really goes down is that this Qatari was basically trying to get to Steve Bannon because this guy, Jeff Quadanets, was really close with Steve Bannon. So their idea was if they can get good with this guy, they will make the intro to Steve Bannon and then they can get to Steve Bannon, where they were basically offering to underwrite all of his political activity because they knew that he's a broke boy now because the Mercer has pulled out of funding him. So they're like, hey, The Qatar would love to underwrite all your political activity just in exchange for like favorable political coverage. That's all. And so when this all made this guy, Jeff Quadanets, really uncomfortable, and they're like, yo, this seems really weird. I thought this was about really terrible basketball, and now it's about like governmental influence. This is all while Steve Bannon is in the White House.
Right.
One of the guys like who was representing this investor was sort of like, well, what's the problem? Mike Flynn had no problem taking this money. Why are you acting like you're shook all of a sudden.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, so
Mike Flynn took all this money,
so
huh?
So what's crazy is Michael Avenatti, who was up tweeting on Mother's Day about like getting to get ready, you guys, I tried to warn you. He was showing pictures of this Qatari guy literally meeting with Mike Cohen and Mike Flynn at fucking Trump Tower in December of 2016. Now, who knows what it was there for, whatever. You can assume what you want or pretend nothing was going on. But, like, it's on wax that this guy is, like, it probably gives a little more credence to, like, what the Jeff Kwadnitz was saying or in the lawsuit when they alleged that this Qatari man was saying, oh, well, Mike Flynn, like, he was down with the program, so what's the problem? And it's just a really weird thing because, like, you know, right now Qatar is, like, it first started off, I think, last year. Trump was like, all right, we're with the Saudis and the Emirates, the Emiratis. We're gonna join this, like, blockade, this trade blockade against Qatar because they were just being real messy. Then suddenly, like, last month, Trump, like, had the guy, like, the head of state of Qatar to the White House, and he's like, oh, they're a great ally against terrorism. So the flip-flopping is really interesting. Remember how they're saying, like, Chinese and Qatari, like, intelligence were shopping around, like, bad info on Jared Kushner?
Right.
So who knows if the administration was like, look, we'll pull out of the blockade. Maybe you don't talk about the weird shit you have on Jared Kushner, because he was also meeting with Qatari people to try and get money for his, like, doomed building, like $500 million that he needs. So there's just a lot of weird smoke. I don't know what it all means. And I'm done speculating, because until I know what real facts are, I'm just going to leave it as Ice Cube and this other guy having to sue Qatar for, I don't know, their failed bribery scheme. Like, right. I guess.
This is the second time in 2 weeks we're seeing people willing to pay millions and millions of dollars just to get close to somebody who is close to the president.
Right.
You know, so some people are like, oh, this isn't that abnormal, but it seems pretty fucking abnormal, and, like, it's just all over the place. And you know what? I think that this is, like, some of the best money that any of these people have ever spent, because getting close to this president, he is the most easy to influence human being in the world, and he's just good with whatever the last thing he heard was. So, like, why wouldn't you pay $10 million to try and, like,
get in
the ear of somebody who can get in his ear? I don't know. I just tend to think that when you look at what people are spending money on, like, this is actually something I was going to talk about in the gambling section. There's this thing, The Wisdom of Crowds, where it talks about how we think that, like, the line is placed by some genius in Vegas, and it's actually—
Oh, you mean the betting line?
Like, yeah, the betting the line, are? Like, what the odds are and everything. And it's actually just placed by who bets,
right,
like, how much money, the volume of betting. It's basically just a market. And so the crowds, by, like, placing their money, determine what the line is, and they're just fucking really good at it. There's all sorts of evidence that, you know, there's this story about how at a fair, like, they had this jelly bean guessing contest. It was like 3,000 something jelly beans are in a jar. And while nobody got within 100, the average of everybody's guesses were within one jelly bean. And, like, that's—
Wow.
So, like, crowds overall, like, when working not necessarily together, but when everybody's trying to get to the right answer, if you average everything, you find really, really smart decisions being made. That's how gambling works. That's how markets work. But I feel like when you get a view into how people are spending their money around this White House, and it's like millions of dollars being spent just to get in the same room with our president, it just makes me worried that our president is voluntarily getting into the same room with a dude who is the head of North Korea and a cult leader. You know, like, obviously this dude would want to meet with him. If other people are paying $20 million for the right to get in a room with him to just, like, tell him their side of the story, so that influences him to a crazy degree.
Right.
So, I don't know. I feel like any meeting with the president, we're giving away a thing of enormous value.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, he's just not— I don't even think he knows what he wants either, or he knows what the position is of his own government. So, I mean, it's a great thing if you just need to manipulate somebody. There couldn't be a more perfect administration.
Right.
Because, yeah, so massively inconsistent.
Right. Like, it wouldn't make sense to spend $20 million to get in the same room as Obama, because he's a person of principles who you're not going to be able to, like, convince one way or the other. But with this dude, it's basically like getting a meeting with the Godfather at the beginning of the Godfather at his daughter's wedding.
You know,
it's just like, yeah, well, of course we'll pay that much money. This is our future as a nation.
I'm really intrigued by this story because I'm reading these screenwriting books.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm just always trying to find, like, this interesting, because my thing is, like, using 3-on-3 basketball.
Big three, like, basketball, league, right.
Like, made by Ice Cube. So, like, just, like, wondering who had this idea. Like, it's a table, you know, full of experts, you know what I mean? And, like, okay, we need to get to Steve Bannon And we've tried our best. I only have one accent. Right? I didn't go to UCB. All right.
Okay. That's more of a Groundlings thing if you're doing character voices.
All right. So let's just say there's more of like, let's say it's a guy. It's like, hey, you know, like, we're going to get to Steve Bannon. And we're just coming up with these ideas. And we're just, everyone's right. just racking their brain. They got their sleeves. It's like there's hours. Right. And there's like one, it's like, you know, it's like a movie when there's the intern, the lonely intern, you know, and it gets like, and it gets like, what are you doing right now? Looking at this 3-on-3 basketball.
Right. I guess Kenyon Martin is playing again.
Right. It's like, and one guy's like, wait a minute, do people like this? And I guess like, yeah, it's pretty popular. You know, Ice Cube. I mean, like, I love Ice Cube. Everyone loves Friday. And then it's like, next thing you know, the kid gets the big office. Somebody gets fired. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I want to see how this plays out. Because I just want to see, number one, I want to see how far the story can get to where they're actually interviewing Ice Cube about this.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in the lawsuit, so eventually he will be. I mean, he'll probably have something
will
to say.
Will this end up in the Predator 2 album? Yeah. You know what I mean? I think I just like, you know, like, or Friday 5. You know what I mean? I think
Man of Mystery.
I mean, yeah, it's like a Coen Brothers movie where, like, the story is about how this, like, half-assed celebrity 3-on-3 basketball league was used to like topple a government or something. It's just like on paper.
I feel like Tom Hanks, this is his next vehicle. You know what I mean? Or like one of these like Orvin Denzel. Somehow this is becoming a movie in 2021.
For sure.
Or somewhere. I just think like the producer for The Big Short or somebody's going to see this and then Cube will play Cube or his son will play him, which is
it's
going to
be O.J. Jackson Jr. For sure.
Mm. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and I wanted to just talk real broad zeitgeisty stuff here because I seem to be seeing a bunch of sort of chatter about this idea that like there's a Trump bashing fatigue. We sort of talked about it last week with the shrinking blue wave, the fact that it seems like the national mood is shifting and his approval rating is taking up slightly. People are acting like it's shot through the roof. It's only up to 42%. He's still, 42% favorable, 52% unfavorable. But it has gone up a little bit from like the high 30s, low 40s. I mean, 42 is still low 40s. But so you're seeing national mood kind of trend in that direction. You're seeing Jimmy Kimmel in a Deadline interview was saying that he thinks people like we've consumed I think he, to quote him, assload of like anti-Trump or just like Trump content. And
it's weird to say
you've
consumed an assload of anything.
It is weird. And that is on Jimmy Kimmel. But so he was saying that he's not going to put much Trump material in this performance he's doing in New York coming up. And then, there's the second most popular article on the New York Times yesterday was a piece called Liberals Aren't As Smart As They Think, which is by a conservative professor at UVA. And, you know, he makes as good an argument as you can as a conservative for like, you know, the ways that liberals are sort of demeaning towards conservative viewpoints. And I don't think the title is probably one he would have chosen, but, you know, titles are chosen by the editors. But, you know, at the same time, it's still him being like, and all this conservative bashing is out of hand. He's ignoring the big point that, you know, all the damage and hate that Trump is engaged in.
I don't even know if it's conservative values or whatever. People have a problem with like discrimination, or racism and shit like that. And I think to obscure it and be like conservative values. If you're fiscally conservative, whatever, I'm not out here trying to be like, how the fuck? I mean, these people are so reckless with their fiduciary ideas. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like that people are getting really upset about. When they do it, it's about things that's like all this kleptocracy that our country's become and things like that. And I think that's odd. But I do agree with this sort of thing that it's like, you know, like with a troll or anything, you give them air and they're going to keep coming back. And it's the same thing, like, especially when you look at how, like, the playbook is on the right. That's just all it is. Like, we're going to do something. They're going to get upset and we'll just keep rocking like this. And they're just going to be so upset, so outraged that at some point, like, people have to kind of grow up and be like, okay, what are we giving our air to constantly?
Right.
Like, what are we giving our power away to constantly? And I think that's probably where we are in this evolution of Trump being a president, where now you have comedians being like, damn, like, is this shit still resonating? Or do we need to kind of figure out another way to talk about this?
Right.
I feel like majority of people who are starting to ride with Trump like understand that they need a leader that's going to just give them what they want and need. And beyond all the articles, beyond anything that's happening, is that I'm coming straight from the barbershop, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not looking at any articles. I understand when I talk to people on the street is that majority, when you get away from it, a lot of folks are okay with what he's doing because he's making things happen.
Right.
Without any huge jargon or anything whatnot. And so now we're at a point where people really understand, like, this, I think it comes to a point where some people understand that he's not going anywhere. So let's listen to him, you know? And so the people that I know, the people who are always on the fence, I see more people becoming conservative because they understand that liberals will let you down. You sure. know what I mean? Liberals will let you down a lot, you know? And the fact is, because we need somebody who's going to act as the bad guy, you know, and really gets to and put us on our ass. And I hate it that it's this guy, but I think just a lot of people are fine looking for it. It's most of the time the wrong message, but even when in that wrong message, it's for a lot of people feel it's the right attitude.
I feel like it's kind of like along with what you're saying, him getting things done, people are bored with the same story over and over again. Yeah. And like they had all the dopamine hits that their brain can take of Trump like being revealed to be a worse and worse person. Yeah. And like rarely will you see a narrative in the media last so long that someone's the villain. Usually they'll find a way to like make that person like have a come up or, you know, with LeBron, they will find a way to like make the fact that he's going to Miami turn into like this huge persona destroying failure. We like changes. We like the high to be brought low and the low to be brought high. And it's just like good programming. Yeah. And so in addition to the fact that he is just good at creating this reality show around the presidency, I also just think there's this inherent, you know, desire by us to like have plot twists or yeah. something to like no, not and, just see the same shit
and
over
it's
and over
crazy
again.
Too like you know we started doing this as a podcast right and then like as we do this more I realize you know we have a place I guess we're you know we are media
right
but we're not necessarily journalists we don't try and present ourselves as like you know just the hard-hitting news we just discuss what the news is
right
but then I realized too we're sort of doing the same thing which is being like look how bad this is 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 and I think that does get old and for a while you can only get so dejected about the situation that it's good to give people something to focus on that can empower them and
right.
give a little more sense of you know of hope or something, that there are things that we're trying to do or that people in government are trying to do that will affect them. Because I think for the most part, a lot of the rhetoric that's around all these scandals and things like that, and we mentioned this with the midterm things we were talking about on Friday, is that that doesn't really, like people who aren't engaged in politics, that's meaningless to them because their bottom line is their day-to-day existence. So if they're not seeing changes in that, that sometimes hardly does much to get them to change ideologically.
There comes a point when you can talk to people on the front lines about and who are and people and even if you talk about yourself as podcasters and whatnot, and you guys know you guys have an authority, you guys have a place in people's lives. But it's at a certain point, it's like it becomes an everyday activity to listen to you.
Right.
But if you guys, if we don't see ourselves like getting people, let's say, off the internet and out in the outer net, let's just say, and out into the streets, you mm-hmm. know what I mean, and understanding that like meet me here at this place, we're going to help mobilize. At a certain point, you just become, I think with some people, when they look at media and everybody and these new forms of media, new leaders, like there comes a point where you have to meet these people face to face, yada, yada, yada. And it has to be some kind of result. It's just like having a shitty supervisor. I can sit up here and be in the stock room talking all day, blah, blah, blah. At a certain point, this would happen with me. I would have bosses that I know are not the worst. You know what I mean? And I can't just complain. At a certain point, I have to need to talk to this guy or this woman and really figure like, how can I work with them? And I think that's what's happening right now. Like we understand that for Trump and his cabinet, everyone, that it's moving to the point where I think some people assume that he's going to have two terms. So it's like at this point, maybe it's not we see it as that they're just like, you know, rooting for him. It's just like, how are we going to work with this maniac? You know what
right.
I mean?
But
like,
I don't think you can work with him because I don't even.
I think that some people have that. I think there's some people like especially people who feel they're subordinate, always going to be. They're going to figure, how do I work with people in power? How can they have me understand me? And so when you have people, and this goes again with celebrity, because that's sometimes my mind's wrapped around. It's like when you see people in the world of music, entertainment, and the like, right? And trying to understand, like, as nutty as we think Kanye is, you know what I mean? He is nutty and in a box full of paydays, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And come here, to have a guy come down from his, you know, medication mountain, right, and come down and try to understand and talk to this guy. It says a lot for the, like, just for people who feel like they're the common man. Like, maybe there is something here. Maybe there's hope. It's odd, but it's so sad that we are still hopeful to say, like, we would rather try to work with this guy instead of, like, trying to figure out the best way to get rid of him. You know what I mean? And because most people don't know what impeachment is and how long it takes. And people thought it'd be done by now.
Right.
But now
right.
you see he's not going anywhere. It's like, well, I might as well work with this guy. You know what I mean? It's like. It's,
well, yeah, for the time being, I guess, yeah. to do anything. But I think the fact remains, as much as we try and understand Trump mm-hmm. or what his rabid base is about,
yeah.
there's not one effort for them to understand what people are on the progressive side are trying to do mm-hmm. or understand what people of color are struggling with.
Yeah.
Because that's – and so when that's absent, I find it very difficult to be like, okay, how do I work with this person? Because yeah. this person has no interest in doing anything that would benefit my community,
yeah.
benefit working people.
Sure.
To the contrary, everything they've done has been at the detriment of those groups.
Yeah, right. But so we're all looking for leaders. We're all looking yeah, for leaders and martyrs too, you know what I'm saying? To really put, you know, to lead the charge. But I think at this point, we don't know, there isn't anyone who's really, you know, like has stepped up. So now I feel like it's like, let's just walk up this mountain and try to talk to this guy.
Right.
And that's what's happening right
now. And that's
now.
Exhausting to keep pushing and pushing yeah. without leadership. And I think people on the progressive side mm-hmm. or who are critical of Trump, also, because we are in our own media bubbles, underestimate how many people and how hard those people are pushing back in the other direction, that if we just let up a little bit, things are going to start moving back in the other direction. And I think, you know, North Korea is a good example, like how his decision to meet with North Korea is being treated as like a work of masterful, you know, statesmanship
yeah.
is, you know, as we've talked about before, total bullshit, because every president from here to, you know, 30 years ago could have decided to have that meeting. Now, again, we don't know how this is going to go, but there are reasons nobody has done it up till now. And, you know, he is just taking a huge, huge risk that ignores all the reasons that those people haven't. But people
it's
are acting like he was the first person to think of the idea to meet with North Korea.
Yeah, I'm going to go put it out here. Wild shots. Cold brew, wild shots. Before he runs for office again, he's going to hit over 50%.
Damn.
I will bet my studio apartment. You know what I mean? I'm out here. I'm really doing this. I understand it. Because I do feel like he's too, like, yeah, with North Korea. In fact, you said North Korea, and then looking at the news today, and now looking at what he's going to do about, like, even these ideas, like, he's going to try to go to Chicago and deal with the youth and this and all that and eradicate all this, and in looking at gun laws. I mean, yeah, I think there's going to be this, it's going to be a really interesting campaign about he's just going to be on the grounds making things happen for the country. And
All right, we will keep an eye on it. Kasim, it's been a pleasure having you, ma'am. Where can people find you, follow you?
Boom. Thank you very much for that. You can find me next week on my new show, Some People Like Us, with my guy Casey Lai. We're at the Dynasty Typewriter, May 22nd, 10 p.m.
Boom.
Tickets online at DynastyTypewriter.com. Or you just hit me up, give you some comps, right? Only two. Not going to go crazy, right? All right? Bring your date or whatever. You know
for
what
the
mean?
Right Venmo?
Yeah, what's your Venmo?
Yo, if you like these jokes and these wild hot takes right there, these cold brew hot takes, right?
Cold brew hot takes.
Hit a brother on Venmo. You know the deal, Kasim Bentley, right there. Or hit me on FB Messenger, right?
Yeah.
I take it. I will take foreign money. I don't care, right? I'll take DJ Khaled money. It doesn't matter. Find me on Facebook. Find me at KasimBentley.com. Don't find me on Twitter. I'm not really tweeting like that.
Yeah.
Find me on Instagram. Right
hey, and there. Also, if Trump doesn't get over 50, but charge this man on Venmo.
Yeah.
Come get
your money.
Hey, yo, I'm not. If I'm putting it out there, if you follow me, if he doesn't hit 50% when he's on the campaign trail,
uh-oh.
I will give you a dollar. All right.
Oh shit. Okay, so 50,000 people come and get on the list.
50,000. By that time, I'll be rich. Right? Because I also did, and I sell my body.
Positive. Thinking.
All right, Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can
find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be?
Someone hit me up. I forget on Twitter, Instagram. Sorry when I can never remember y'all, but I do look at most of my mentions. They wanted a J5 song or Jurassic 5 song. And earlier, I was talking about the elements of hip-hop, emceeing, and scratching. And you know what? Jurassic 5 was one of my favorite groups because, look, DJ Newmark, Cut Chemist are legendary DJs. And, you know, the MCs are great themselves, but I was more of the Newmark and Cut Chemist fan variety. But look, this is a track off of, not off one of their albums, it's off of an album called One Big Trip, but this one's called Verbal Gunfight, and it has like a, I don't know, like the beat feels like it's like a score to like a detective show or like a opening to Miami Vice or some shit. So just vibe out to that. You know, it's something nice and easy just to start off the week, because shit, it is starting off so fucking heavy that I don't know. God, we might have to do a bunch of jokes tomorrow.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Meanwhile. We're not in a regular kind of business. Yo. Now what you hear is not a test. This is a verbal gunfight like the Wild Wild West. And if you got beef, get it off your chest, my son, because the truth is gonna show you how the West was won.
We rolled up to the spot about a half past noon. Jumped from the horse, slid into the saloon. Walking in the spot, I heard the music man stop. Danced up to the bar, a double snap along the pot.
Now Mr. Bartender told me strangers get flat.
Really black?
But they'll be fucking with the black Billy Jack. Fill a Mac, penetrate, they never even got the chance, bruh. We moved the crowd like we was horse on Bonanza.
Yeah, my drink, he never passed it, he got real sarcastic.
Fat bastard.
You them niggas from the crew called Jurassic. Talking mad shit as his face showed a frown. You niggas better leave before the sun go down.
Cause we be the king of the verbal gunslingers. You better bring a casket, a preacher and a singer, nigga. You be the king of the ones that brought static.
I use my rhymes like a Glock or a Mac.
Hey yo, something looking fishy, yo, I think we better watch.
Yo, alright, make sure you got your trigger uncocked.
Yo, I'm saying real niggas always deal a gun blast. Get the horse, kiss the girl, grab the mic and let's dash.
Cause we be the king of the verbal gunslinger. You better bring a casket, a preacher and a singer, nigga. Cause when the lid locks on, it'll lift ya. I'm not a grifter, more like a high plains drifter.
And as the plot kicking, thinking niggas started shoving me, mugging me, tugging me into the good, bad and the ugly. Troubly, doubly, I grab a glass full of bubbly, publicly rubbing me. I told my nigga Charlie, cover me.
Yo, I got your back and I'm bucking, I'm looking back and I'm ducking. I'm trying to get us the fuck out the place. Brothers, it was harassing, we was doing the blast. And yo, Soup, go get us the bucks out the safe. Yeah,
we be the king of the verbal gunslinger. You better bring a casket, a preacher and a singer, nigga. We be the king of the ones that brought static.
I use my rhymes like a clock or a madman.
Bet you never tell about the things they saw. The stakes is what can make a man become an outlaw. Hey, we be the people. Keep the past alive. Tune the fish and I kick from the Jurassic 5.
Ayo, peeps, it's been grand, but understand we in a hurry. Emergency currency, many niggas that wanna murder me. Heard of me, and tune the fish to lead capacity. Keeping the West blazing like some dancing Butch Cassidy.
Man, we need some type of plan, cause peeps is scandalous. They think that they can make a man hush with the ambush. My man bust till you crack the safe. Your back is safe and we gon' take the back escape.
Now
pray.
Now if you don't know who we are, I suggest you better hide.
Or look down the devil's eye, sing a lullaby, and the picture on the poster make my left side my best side.
I'm on my last two rounds, I let 1,000 free. I heard the bartender call for the cavalry. Now they outside waiting on my pilot, me. Verbal gunslinger forever and proud to be.
Cause we be the king of the verbal gunslinger. And now they got the casket, the preacher and the singer. Cause they
stay alive, yo.
Rhyming with our back to the wall, trying to survive the fall. Cause dead men never tell about the things they saw. The stakes is what can make a man become an outlaw. Hey, we be the people to keep the past alive. It's tuna fish
and die
from the Jurassic 5.